certainly a pleasure to be with you again this afternoon. Wonderful singing. And I wish I could just go on and on and on. That's a glorious sound. I encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter 48. And I'll meet you over there in a few moments. Genesis chapter 48. I know that there are several visitors, and I know that the group here appreciates your encouragement and your edification that they receive from your being here. And we hope that you will ask questions if you have any questions, if you have any concerns about what's being done or what's being said. We certainly would be glad to sit down with you and talk about those things. You know, the Bible is full of phrases, different words, but phrases that seem to pop up off the page. I want to think about one of those phrases with you this afternoon. That is the phrase, but God. But God appears about 45 times in our Bibles. And anytime you come across the phrase, but God, we begin to think about it and should know that no matter what is going on in our life, no matter what struggle is occurring in our lifetime, God is always going to be with us along for the ride, in tow with us, never to leave us alone, never to forsake us. He's always there with us. And I want to assure you, no matter what struggles you are going through or have gone through or will go through, God will always be with you. In this phrase, but God helps us to appreciate that very fact. I want to think with you about some of the times in our life this afternoon that we sometimes feel like we're all alone, but I want you to know that God is with you. I want to begin in the book of Genesis 48 and verse 21 and first suggest to you this afternoon that God is with us when loved ones move on from our lives. When loved ones move on from our lives. In Genesis 48 and verse 21, this is Israel or Jacob speaking to his son Joseph. Listen to his words, "Behold, I die." And I want you to be hunting with me for these phrases. "Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers." I know that there are those in this room today, all of us to some extent, but some others, even more harder circumstances, that have lost loved ones that were very dear to them. And that's a very difficult thing to deal with. And I want you to know, the Bible wants you to know, that even though we have loved ones who move on past this life, God is always with us. He will be with us. It helps us also to appreciate that death is as much a part of life as anything else. The Bible says it is appointed that a man wants to die, and then the judgment, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, that all the living shall know that they shall die, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 5. So as long as our hearts are beating and our lungs are breathing, I need to be aware that at some time I am going to pass from this life. But when it's somebody else, a family member, a close friend, or a close brother or sister in Christ, sometimes we feel alone. Maybe sometimes we feel like we've been abandoned, perhaps by men you have. But I assure you, God has not abandoned you. And I need to rely upon God in those difficult times when somebody dear has passed on from my life. But moving on, in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, as we make a progression through the Bible, in the book of Exodus 13 and verse 18, not only is God with me when loved ones move on from our life, I also know that God is with me when life is filled with obstacles. Surely we all know that life has its share of difficulties and obstacles, all shapes and forms of them. In the book of Exodus 13, verse 18, as the children of Israel were leaving Egypt and began to wander in the wilderness, look at verse number 18. It says, But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And if you back it up to verse number 17, you know that God realizes that if he took the shorter route, the shorter route, they would see war, grow discouraged, and want to go back to the land of Egypt. But God was with them, but God knew what was best for them, and he was with them when there was going to be obstacles in their way. And let me tell you, there are going to be obstacles in my life. There are going to be obstacles in years. And I need to know that God is going to make a way for me that's best for me. He's going to make a way for you that's best for you. One of the most beloved psalms, Psalm number 23, right? Many of you I know can probably quote all six verses of this particular psalm. Psalm number 23, I want to ask you a few questions based upon verses number 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? I shall not want. Why do you not want? Because God has provided everything that I need. He makes me to lie down in what kind of pastures? In green, not brown and dry pastures, but in green pastures where I can find everything that I need. He leads me beside what kind of waters? He leads me beside still waters, not rough waters, not difficult waters. God leads me in the way that's best for me, around and through the obstacles. Verse number 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So whatever your obstacle is today, whether it's a struggle with this or a struggle with that, I want you to know, the Bible wants you to know, that God is with you. He always will be with you in these difficult times. But in the book of Judges, as we continue to think about this phrase, but God, the book of Judges, chapter 15. Judges chapter 15, we find ourselves in the life of the strong man, Samson. In Judges 15 and verse 19, we find another occurrence of our phrase. Judges 15, if we back it up to verse 18, the strong man says of him, he was sore athirst, called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God, there it is. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. So we understand here from verse 19 that God will be with us when we question if we're going to have all of our physical needs. And I know that you've been there as much as I have been there before. How am I going to pay for this month's rent? How am I going to provide food for my family? How am I going to dress my children? And we have all these questions about all these physical needs. And no matter how many questions you have, God has all the answers. He has all of them. He's always going to be with you. You recall in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. We have the passage there about do not worry. Do not be anxious. Oftentimes we widen that out, maybe improperly so, about worrying about everything. But there God narrows it down. He says, don't worry about what? Don't worry about the necessities of life. What you're going to eat? What you're going to drink? What are you going to wear? Where are you going to live? And God said to solve that problem, you do one simple thing. Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto thee. What are these things in Matthew 6 and verse 33? The necessities, the need, the physical needs of life. And when you are beginning to wonder whether or not, much like Samson, am I going to have what I need physically to get through this life, God will provide those things. He'll be with you. I like the way David wrote in Psalm 37, verse 25. He says, I have been young, and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. I love that statement there in Psalm 37, verse 25. David says, I've lived nearly my whole life, and not one time have I seen the people of God forsaken by God or begging bread. When you feel like your physical needs are not going to be met, God will be there to provide those things for you, provided you put Him first. This is the way the Bible says it works. Let's move on, though. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Other times in our life when God is going to be with us. 1 Samuel 23 and verse number 14. The Bible reads like this. The Bible says, And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. But notice the next two words. But God delivered him not into his hand. They're very familiar with this story. Saul chasing David all over the countryside. As you mentioned this morning, in, out of caves, in, out, all over the place. David was running for his life. I want you to know that God is going to be with us. God is going to be with you when others are intent on harming us. And sometimes they are. Sometimes the intent is a physical harm. Sometimes the intent is some other non-lethal, non-physical harm. But they're going to be trying to harm us somehow. And God says, I am going to be with you. You know, God acts as our defense. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is a what? God is a refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Let me ask you, what do you do when you find trouble? What do you do when you find that others are trying to harm you, trying to do something to you? What we should do is run to who? Run to God. He's our defense. In the book of Psalms, again, Psalm 62, verses 7 and verse 8, the psalmist again writes these words, Psalm 62, 7 and 8, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, the psalmist writes. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. I'm sure that David realized that God was with him when all those difficulties were going on in his life and when they're going on in our life. I need to understand that God is going to be with me. What about in the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, as we continue to think about the phrase, but God, and the times that He is going to be with us. Did you know, as a fifth point this afternoon, that God is with us when we are tempted to do wrong? This is the time when we often think that God is not with us. But I want you to know that even though the Satan may be tempting you to do something, God is with you when you are being tempted. We know this from 1 Corinthians 10 in verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now here it is. But God. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. What a loving God we have. How many of us are tempted? Well, we're all tempted, are we not? And we all sin, Romans 3 and verse 23. And we're all subject to the penalty of sin, Romans 6 and verse 23. But it would do well for you and me to try to realize, where does sin originate? Where does temptation come from? Does it come from God? It doesn't come from God. It comes from Satan and ourselves. Doesn't the Bible alert us to that fact in the book of James chapter 1? Verses 13 through 15, that sin comes when we are drawn away. There's the drawn away of our own what? Of our own lust. And then the lust leads to sin. And sin, when it's full-born, leads to what? It leads to death, separation from God. I need to step back and begin to realize when I'm being tempted, where this road leads me. Sometimes we get to the end of the road of sin. How did I get here? Well, I got here because I was drawn away of my own lust. What I needed to realize at those times was God was still with me, providing a way of escape, providing a way for me to get away from the temptation. What a loving God we have. You know, it'd be easy for Him to say, you know, if you're going to be tempted so often to do wrong, I'm just going to abandon you and you can just fend for your own self. But He didn't do that, did He? He always remains with us. Now, in Psalm 49, Psalm 49, as we continue to hunt down our phrase in our Bibles, Psalm 49 and verse 15, the Bible reads, but God, there it is, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for He shall receive me. I want you to also understand today that God is with us. God is with you. When it is time for me, as we've sung today, to pass away, when it is time for my departure to worlds unknown, God is going to be with me and not leave me alone. In fact, He has plans for us, doesn't He? Beyond this grave. This is why David wrote in Psalm 23, the other verses that we left undone, Psalm 23, verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will do what? I will fear no evil. Why, David? Why will you fear no evil? Because you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What about the book of Job? Think about a couple things in the book of Job. Job 14, verse 14. Think about this question. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change what? Till my change comes. Then a little later on, Job 19, verse number 25. He says, For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. When it is time for me to leave this earth, and someday it will be, unless the Lord comes first. When it's time for me to leave this earth, when it comes time for you to leave this earth, God is not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to be right there with you, in lockstep with you, all the way. And he has plans for me, not to leave me in a grave, but to take me with him, to be my Redeemer, to buy me back, if he will, to take me home to heaven. Take me home to heaven. And so when it's time for me to leave this earth, God is with me. In the book of Luke chapter 16, a couple of more. Luke chapter 16. You might recall in verse 14, the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things and they derided him. He said unto them, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. I want you to know today, even though I may produce a false picture of myself, God is still with me. God is with me when I'm fooling myself into making myself into something or somebody that I am not. I love verse 15 because in our society, we put such a high price on the wrong things. Generally speaking, not necessarily you, but generally speaking, our society puts a high price on the wrong things. We want, what are all the actors and the actresses saying? Well, who cares what they're saying? What about all the sports idols? And all, what do they have to say? We put the high price on the wrong things. But God views these things differently, doesn't he? And when I am producing a false picture of myself, God's still there with me, and his words remind me, don't paint that kind of a picture. You recall the folks in the church at Laodicea, right? The lukewarm church, Revelation 3, verses 14 through 16. You remember they had an identity crisis. They had an identity problem, if you will. And their problem was they didn't view themselves correctly. They didn't see themselves as they really were. In Revelation 3, in verse number 17, the Bible says, Because you say, what we're about to read is how the Laodiceans saw themselves. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's what they thought about themselves. But Jesus came and said, Don't you know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I wonder if anybody here has ever had a false picture of themselves. We thought we were something when, in fact, we really weren't that something. We thought we may have been faithful, but perhaps we were not faithful. I'm sure we've all done that from time to time. That's when it's time, according to the book of James, chapter 1, to look into the perfect law of liberty. And there James compares it to what? It compares it to a mirror, right? Look into a mirror to find out if there's alterations that need to be made. How many of you have looked into a mirror today? I've dared, all of us probably, more than once, have looked into a mirror. What would you think about me if I looked into a mirror today and I had a big ink smudge across my forehead? I just came in here with it on it anyways. Would that be a problem? That'd be a problem, wouldn't it? And there are some people who use the mirror, the Bible, that way. They look into it. They actually see the truth of their life. But they want to believe that false picture of themselves, and they just go on living their life. We can't be that way. But God is still with us. He wants us to see the truth of ourselves and to make sure we're living the right kind of life. Now, finally this afternoon, the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to know that God is with you. God is with us. When we feel worthless, when we assess that we are not worth living or we are not have any worth at all. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 4, it begins with our phrase, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Did you realize that in our society we have a suicide problem? There's a lot of folks who are committing self-murder. They do it because they feel what? Because they feel worthless. They do it because they don't believe anybody loves them, right? Nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. Well, it could be that there's a dearth of people who don't care for you. That's okay. Because I want you to know that God cares for you. When I was a mess, when I was living in sin, God gave us his mercy and he gave us his grace. This is where some verses come in that we're very familiar with, right? John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved who? For God so loved the world. Who's the world? That's us. He loved us even when we were still sinners, right? God commended his love toward us. And now while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. Sometimes maybe even I have this issue where I feel like nobody cares, nobody's concerned about me. And you probably have those times too, that nobody really likes me, nobody really is concerned or cared about me. I want you to know that God cares for you deeply. And he's the one that matters. He's the one that matters. And so all of these phrases, but God, I encourage you, there's about 45 of them in the Bible. I encourage you to go do some of your own research on some of these other, but God. He's always, always going to be with us. During the difficult times, not so good times, always going to be with us. Now, this afternoon, if you're with us, you've never become a child of God. You may be wondering, how does one become a child of God? Well, it's quite simple. God says, I want you to listen to the words in the Bible. I want you to listen to the words of my Son. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, verse 5, God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. What should I do with that? Hear ye him. Listen to what he has to say. Let me share with you some of the things that the Lord has said. He also said, the Lord said, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. John chapter 8 and verse number 24. The Lord said, except ye repent, you all shall likewise perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. And it also was the Lord who said, if you confess me before men, that I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10 and verse number 32. And wasn't it the Lord who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16. In verse 16. Wasn't it the Lord who said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, there in the early part of John chapter 3. God wants you dearly to be part of his family. I want you to be a part of his family so that God is always near you, with you. You need God in your life. I need God in my life. Maybe that you are a child of God. You lost sight of the fact that God is your God. You're living according to the course of the world, walking according to the course of the world. It's time to return to God. Time to return to the fold and pray to God that he will wipe away the sins in your life once again. If he can help you, assist you in being baptized, or to pray with you to confess sins as the child of God, come as we stand and as we sing.